The Holy Gospel according to Matthew, the 10th chapter.
Glory to you, O Lord.
Jesus said to the disciples, a disciple is not above the teacher, nor a slave above the master. It is enough that the disciple is like the teacher, and the slave like the master. If they have called the master of the household Beelzebub, how much more will they malign those of his household? So have no fear of them. For nothing is covered up that will not be uncovered, and nothing secret that will not become known. What I say to you in the dark, tell in the light. And what you hear whispered, proclaim from the housetops. Do not fear those who can kill the body, but cannot kill the soul. Rather, fear him who can destroy body and soul in hell. Are not two sparrows sold for a penny? And yet, not one of them will fall to the ground apart from your Father. And even the hairs on your head are all counted. So do not be afraid, for you have more value than many sparrows. Everyone, therefore, who acknowledges me before others, I also will acknowledge before my Father in heaven. But whoever denies me before others, I also will deny before my Father in heaven. Do not think I have come to bring peace to the earth. I have not come to bring peace, but a sword. For I have come to set man against his father, and a daughter against her mother, and a daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law. And one's foes will be among one's own household. Whoever loves father or mother more than me is not worthy of me. Whoever loves son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. Whoever does not take up their cross and follow me is not worthy of me. Those who find their life will lose it, and those who lose their life for my sake will find it. The Gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. Good morning, everyone. I'm going to ask the children to come up for a message, and by up, I mean come on up to the screen and or the TV, and we can unmute some of those children, because I need your help this morning. What I need your help with is this little object here. Have you guys ever seen one of these? I don't know how well you can see it from back there, but it's one of those helicopter things. So it's got this blade type thing that you can see, and then this looks like a straw. So if you've ever played with one of these, can you tell me how to put it together? Because I was trying to figure out how it works, but you know, if I throw it up in the air, it just kind of falls down. It's not really very fun. So then I thought maybe the straw thing, maybe I got to blow on it. It moves a little, but I can't really get it up in the air at all. I don't know, I'm about ready to give up with one of these things, but yeah, I think I'm just going to give up, because sometimes we just got to give up, because when we give up, we can ask people for help. Pastor Mike,
what?
Can you help me figure this out?
Not too complicated.
Well, I can't figure it out, because it doesn't work. I mean, you see, it's not very fun either.
What you have to do is you have to take the straw part.
The straw part.
And put it into underneath. There's a little hole.
That's what that hole's for.
It is. It is. And so you put that in there.
Right.
And then I don't know if you can see, but now it can kind of spin.
It does spin that way.
And then.
But then we throw it up?
Nope.
Oh,
man. You put
man.
It in between your hands like this.
What?
And let's see if it goes off the screen. Everybody watch out. One, two, three, we go.
Whoa.
Right,
there it is.
Sanitizer on that.
That was wonderful. So just like this.
There you go.
Wow.
Look at that.
Oh, Christ almost intercepted it. All right. So that's it. Thank you, Pastor Mike. I appreciate that.
Amen.
See, sometimes when we're trying something new or maybe even it's old, but we have to give up and just say, God, we give up on this. And that way we can ask for help. Jesus tells us something that's really difficult today. He says, whoever loves mom or dad more than me is not worthy of me. Whoever loves family more than me is not worthy of me. And it's so hard to figure out. And sometimes we just have to say, God, I give up. I don't know what it is you're trying to tell me by doing this. And once we are able to give up, God is able to help us in figuring out what it is we need to do. And God doesn't want us to love our parents any less. He just wants us to remember to love God more each and every day. All right, so let's pray. Good and gracious God, we thank you for this time together. We thank you for your Son, Jesus Christ. We thank you for the help that you give us when we just sometimes have to give up, so that you can help us in all that we need to do. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. All right. Put the helicopters away here. Oh, boy. I love these texts that have so much grace in them. I wish I could hear you all. So what did he say, really? I mean, a disciple is not above the teacher, nor a slave above the master. It is enough for the disciple to be like the teacher, and the slave like the master. If they have called the master of the house Beelzebul, how much more will they malign those of the household? What? So it took me a while to convince myself to actually read this out of the NRSV. So, and first, it was because the difficulty I had in actually comprehending what the words meant. And then second, because of the inflammatory words used. Nor the slave above the master, and the slave like the master. Why now? In a time of heightened awareness of racial inequality, do we find such words? Thank you, Holy Spirit. Yet I took a moment and stopped, and I noticed. Why am I uncomfortable saying these words? Slave, master. Because of white privilege, I figured, which makes me feel guilty about saying them. I'm concerned of how people are going to hear those words. And if I feel this way, I wonder how people of color will hear those words. Are they offensive? I cannot answer that question, but I do know that I am aware of my sensitivity to them and therefore wonder about what others are thinking. Once we get past the language, what are the words that Jesus is trying to communicate with to us? So when Scripture gets confusing, I choose to go back to the Greek. And if that doesn't shed any light on things, then I go to the theological wonder of Eugene Peterson's The Message. Now, my doctrinal friends tend to laugh or even cringe as I use this significant spiritual paraphrase. It's not a translation. And the difference between a paraphrase and a translation is the paraphrase uses educated guesses to the intended meaning of the words, whereas a translation uses an educated conversion from one language to another. Anyway, in The Message, the first few verses of this passage are written this way. A student doesn't get a better desk than her teacher. A laborer doesn't make more money than his boss. Be content, pleased even, when you, my students, my harvest hands, get the same treatment I get. And if they call me the master, dungface, what can the workers expect? There is the root of this passage that we need to hear today. No, not the word dungface. Well, really, when Eugene Peterson was writing this, he had to use some type of word that would connotate the evil one, and he didn't want it. Anyway, we need to hear, be content, pleased even, when you, my students, my harvest hands, get the same treatment I get. This is much more meaningful, at least to me, to hear then. It is enough for the disciple to be like the teacher and the slave to be like the master. But now you can kind of see what Jesus is trying to tell us in those words. Our commission is to make disciples who know the truth of God's love and that it applies to everyone and all of creation. We are to tell in the light and proclaim from the housetops about that truth. And that's when it actually hit me. That's when I was able to visualize the Christ-like symbolism in the murder of George Floyd. Him and Jesus both murdered for who they were. Jesus was murdered because of who he was. People hated Jesus because of the ideas and the theology that he taught. He was persecuted because he was giving the outcast and the vulnerable hope. Jesus was executed because he threatened those in power. I don't know if we can say the same for George Floyd or Breonna Taylor or Rashard Brooks. I don't know what their theology was or their love of others, but I do know that they were killed because of the same fear of losing control and power, just as the Son of God was lifted up in sacrifice to subdue opposition of change, which would threaten those in power. In our reading, Jesus quickly turns to fear because he knows that the disciples will be crippled by it, and we are too, right? Fear, there's a lot of it these days. We can't leave our homes without masks or gloves or hand sanitizer. I mean, the coronavirus, over 8 million confirmed cases worldwide, leading to over 440,000 deaths. Over 2.2 million confirmed cases in the United States, and we are close to, if not over by now, 120,000 deaths. Tippecanoe County, 526 cases, up 8% since last week. Thank God, only 7 deaths. Then there's civil unrest. All 50 states and much of the world are represented in protests after the death of George Floyd and many others. And then there's counter-protests. Just last night, a mass shooting of 11 people, where one was killed, the rest wounded. Schools are wishing to start classes safely, yet that causes fear to even bring kids together. The economy needs to begin, or we face a recession. Yet again, fear of more coronavirus fills our brains with anxiety. If we don't, or if we do, open too quickly. Fear of when and how we will start safe worship in person again. How and when? I hear the requests from both sides. The fear is quite exhausting. I hit a wall earlier this week, paralyzed by the overwhelming fear of pastoring to a congregation I cannot meet face to face. I can neither help or love you as you deal with some of these same fears. And this is added to the daily fears of our lives, right? As we fear for our families and our loved ones in nursing homes, or overseas, or out of state, or starting school. So Jesus tells us not to fear those who can kill our bodies but cannot touch our souls, but fear him who can destroy body and soul in hell. Yet this is not as harsh as you might think, this type of fear. First, fearing God, according to Dr. Mark Allen Powell, a New Testament professor, now retired, is of itself neither positive nor negative. In his book, God With Us, he writes that fear of God has many responses. Matthew depicts people responding to divine manifestations with fear. Herod is terrified by the Magi's assertion that heavenly portents have announced the birth of a new king. Jesus' disciples are afraid when they hear the voice of God at the transfiguration. The centurion and other soldiers at Jesus' crucifixion are filled with fear when they see the stupendous events that accompany Jesus' death. And the guard of the tomb trembles with fear in the presence of an angel who rolls away the stone. From these passages, we see that fear of the divine king generates a variety of responses. Herod takes aggressive action to kill the Messiah. The disciples fall on their faces in an action perhaps representative of worship. And the soldiers proclaim that Jesus was certainly the Son of God. And the guards at the tomb become paralyzed like dead men. People ought to fear God more than the world because God is the protector of our souls, as Jesus proclaims. Right after he says, "Fear him who can destroy body and soul," he seems to split off, but it's not a split. It is a remembrance, reminder to us. Are not two sparrows sold for a penny? Not one of them will fall to the ground separate from your Father. And even the hairs of your head are counted. So do not be afraid. You are of more value than many sparrows. Sparrows are pretty inexpensive, yet God cares for them. And you are worth more than many sparrows. God even knows the numbers of hairs on your head. Doesn't sound like a God who wants any of us to be separated from God. The fears of this world should not stop us from being or becoming the loving body of Christ. It should not stop us from proclaiming in the light or on the roof, the housetops, that Jesus, what Jesus tells us in the dark or in a whisper, that all people are loved by God. All people are precious in God's sight. We all have more value than many sparrows. And when one of us is suffering, we all are suffering. Jesus did not come to bring peace but a sword, to show those in power what justice looks like. Jesus brings a sword to cut through the injustice of the world, to shave off the infection of injustice so that creation can heal, so that we can be of one body, eventually living together as one with creation. But until then, we will live divided. How divided? As divided as families who are against each other. Man against father and daughter against mother. I'm not sure what your family gatherings look like when they were able to happen, but at my parents' house, when my siblings would gather together, we know what we can say to one another and what topics we need to avoid. But then I think about what Jesus says about what we should tell in the light. When Jesus says, "Those who love father or mother, son or daughter more than me are not worthy of me," he is not saying to love your family members any less. Probably more, actually. But don't let the uncomfortableness of disagreement stop you from proclaiming the love of God to all people. We need to remember that for all discussions, God wants us united. We can love each other and disagree with each other, but always remember the truth. Remember the truth that God loves all people. God loves us. That's an all-inclusive us. It's not us or them. It is us. Now, spoiler alert. On the movie Just Mercy. If you haven't seen it and don't want to know anything about it, then I would suggest that you mute right now because I'm going to talk a little bit about that. I'll give you a thumbs up when I'm done talking about it. So in the movie Just Mercy, a Harvard lawyer named Brian Stevens is talking with his client, Walter McMillan, after his first appeal was denied by a judge in Alabama. Now, during this time, during this movie, we see that this Harvard lawyer, Brian Stevens, was challenged in many ways. made to fear people around him. He was strip searched while he was trying to see his clients. He was pulled over for no apparent reason. He was watched by certain police officers. He was actually threatened by the society around him. But you can hear Jesus saying, "Have no fear of them. What is covered up will be uncovered. Do not fear those who can kill the body but cannot kill the soul. Do not be afraid, for you are more value than many sparrows." So as they are talking, Walter McMillan, Johnny B., who is accused of this murder, he begins to reminisce about the first days he spent in prison and says, "You know, I knew the truth when I came in here. But the longer that I've been in here and the less I see my family and friends and hear from them, the truth kind of gets clouded." And then you start wondering. And then you start doubting. He goes, "This new trial, even though that we were denied, it was wonderful to hear my accuser tell everybody that he had lied originally." He goes, "These fools are going to do what they're going to do. And I might go to the electric chair tomorrow. But I will do it with a smile on my face. Because Brian Stevens, you have given me my truth back." It's the truth that we should not be afraid to proclaim. We should not fear people who are afraid of that truth, that God loves all people. It's the truth that we hold deep within inside of us that shows us that we are worthy of this love. And all people are of more value than many sparrows. Missy put up this quote from Archbishop Desmond Tutu in our kitchen the other day, just to remind us of God's grace, and I want to give it to you. It's something I believe Jesus might have whispered to the archbishop. He says, "We are made for goodness. We are made for love. We are made for friendliness. We are made for togetherness. We are made for all of the beautiful things that you and I know. We are made to tell the truth, that there are no outsiders. All are welcome. Black, white, red, yellow, rich, poor, educated, not educated, male, female, gay, straight, all. We all belong to this family, this human family, God's family. Proclaim the truth from the housetops." Amen.